And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show, live from Jacksonville, because he's super cool, he's my good friend Tim Walters with the Florida Today newspaper. Cue his music.
There's no I in team, but there is in Tim.
How's bowling going on Monday then?
Not very good.
I talk about it on my podcast. On my podcast. Podcast. I love it when a plan comes together.
Tim Walters, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing fantastic, Mark, up here at Ponte Vedra Beach, the TPC Sawgrass. 50th anniversary of the Players' Championship going on, and the weather could not be any greater. It is just absolutely beautiful out here, my man.
How many years have you been covering that tournament?
Well, this is my third. So, 3 years up here, and one of my colleagues here, Gary Smith, he's been covering it since 1981.
All right, how do you do this then? Are you looking for stories? Are you interviewing people? What do you do as a reporter at a golf tournament?
Yeah, we've got a team of people up here. So there's all sorts of things going on. Early in the morning here, we had a hole-in-one. So, for instance, Ryan Fox, he hits a hole-in-one on 17. We got somebody who's writing that up and posting it immediately. We got some people out on the course following some people around. So Rory had a great, he started on the 10th hole. He finished the first nine at -5. And so he was having a really good day until he bogeyed the 18th hole there. Before going over to hole one. So we've got some people following that around. Scotty Scheffler, the defending champion, he goes off at 1:40 p.m., so we'll have some people watching that. We just had Tom Kim had to pull out of the tournament with an illness, so we've got somebody who's typing that up and posting it. I kind of keep an eye on things. I check it. I make sure it's what we call boosted on the website so it stays ahead of the other content. And then, we're writing features, we're doing live coverage, we're updating things throughout the day. So there's a whole lot to do up here at the Players' Championship.
Do you get good access to players during this tournament?
Not necessarily. I mean, they bring them out to us, so there's a media area where they'll come and sit and talk to everybody. But, as far as one-on-ones, you can try and request some of that. But especially when these guys are playing, they don't really want to be bothered by a lot of that.
Tim, is it weird where some of the big names are not there because they're in the other golf tournament, the LIV one?
Look, there's still a small divide there. There's really three key people who aren't here this year, including Cam Smith, who won 2 years ago. So it's a big deal not to have a previous champion. But, at this point, there's not a lot of people who would be in the top of the golf rankings anymore who would have made it because they have defected to LIV. So, there's obviously some big names. Obviously, the biggest name not here, even though he's not in great competitive shape anymore, Tiger Woods, opted not to come to this one this year. It was his fifth and final year of eligibility. So, unless some special things happen or they create an exemption for Tiger, we may never see him play at TPC. We hope, on a competitive level at the Players again. So we'll have to see how that all shakes out. Obviously, if he goes to the Tour Champions, wins there, he could earn his way back on here. And there's a lot of people who think he may actually play more once he turns 50 and gets there, because you can golf cart around these courses. We obviously have seen he's got a little trouble walking all of that for, 2 days or 4 days if you make the cut. So there's a lot that goes into it.
What's the best way, Tim Walters of the Florida Today, to describe that golf course?
Oh, I mean, a few ways. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, you have to see the conditions of this course right now. Incredibly challenging. I mean, just some of the holes out here. Obviously, 17 is the famed hole. But, it's only ranked, I think, the fourth hardest hole. Because when you get to 18, that's the one that's ranked the hardest out of these 18 holes. So, imagine you've been playing an entire round and you get to the last hole and that's the hardest one you have to contend with, especially after surviving the Island Green. But I tell you what, it is just, it's absolutely beautiful. You've got to see the scene out here.
All right, this is the tough follow-up, and it's okay with what your answer is. Are you a golf fan? Because I'm okay. I wouldn't say I'm like the biggest golf guy. How about you?
No, I think I'm with you. Obviously, I have a very good knowledge of it. It's not, anything you need to know too terribly much about. You can only watch so much of it. But there are certain holes that are entertaining. I think for me personally, it's like hockey. I'd rather see it in person than watch it on TV. But it is cool to go walk out there and just kind of see the crowds out here, see who they're following. And I'm telling you, Mark, when you see some of these guys like Rory, like Scheffler, when they hit a golf ball, it doesn't sound like anything you've ever heard before. It's not like you're going out with your buddies and you're playing at Suntree Country Club. These guys hit the ball in an extra special way, and it is just incredible to see them, whether it be driving, whether it be the way they putt, you know, some of the angles, some of the cuts they put on the ball. It's just incredible.
The other thing that always impresses me, they remember every shot from 4 days of a tournament. Like, hey, what happened on the 13 yesterday? And they'll break down exactly what happened. Do you notice that when you interview some of these guys?
Yeah, in fact, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Fred Funk, who won the 2005 Players Championship. And so that's, what, 19 years ago? Mm. And he was taking me through the last day, blow by blow. Now, here's a guy who weather postponed it to where on a Monday he had to finish his third round, 14 holes, and then he had to play his fourth round, 18 holes. There were over 30-mile-an-hour winds with 40-mile-an-hour gusts, and he was sitting there telling me about each hole, the things he remembered, that, you know, talking about seeing trees bending a certain way and how he drove, you know, it just the little details and where a ball landed and, you know, whether there was rough nearby or something in the grass. It just his lucidness of something that was two decades ago is incredible. You're right. Golfers have incredible memories when it comes to that.
Hey, talking to Tim Walters, start asking this guy about NASA for our listeners. You sound like that as well, where you could just start saying everything. I hope you know that.
Yeah, well, if you're asking me about Apollo or shuttle era, yes, I could probably do that. Nowadays, Elon Musk, he launches so many rockets, I can't tell them apart anymore.
All right, so what are you doing over the next couple of days there in Jacksonville then for this tournament?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're just going to be doing coverage each day. Like I said, we have a team of people out here. Mm-hmm. We have Gary Smits, who's been covering it, like I said, since 1981. We have our columnist, Gene Furnett, who just ran into Heisman winner Caleb Williams out on the 17th hole. Caleb's training here in Jacksonville, and he was out following Rory around in one of the morning groups. So we got a picture of him, and Gene's writing a column. We've got Clayton Freeman, who's kind of our Swiss Army knife at the Times Union, and he's writing all sorts of different things that when breaking news when it happens. And then from our sister paper down in Palm Beach, Tom DeAngelo is here from the Palm Beach Post, and he's helping out with coverage. So you know, I'm just kind of here as the guy coordinating everything. When our photographers have, you know, photo galleries ready, I'm making sure that those are posted, added to stories and things like that. You know, looking for opportunities with video and just kind of walking around and taking in the scenes, Mark. So, you know, there's never a shortage of things to do at a tournament like this.
Was Caleb Williams already in a Chicago Bears jersey? I need to know.
No, in fact, the picture he took is almost kind of goofy looking. Mm. He's just given this silly peace sign. But if you're wondering what he looked like, he was just wearing black pants and a black shirt and sunglasses. Honestly, you would almost not notice it was him if people didn't know it was him. I mean, he's very dressed down right now.
Is that what you're wearing as well? All black?
Yes, I'm wearing my swooshy Nike pants, and I've got my hoodie on and my sunglasses. And when I walk around here, people are asking me, hey, are you in the draft next month? And I'm like, no, not anymore.
We're at Tim Walters, Florida Today newspaper. Since you're up there in Jacksonville, what did you think of the story yesterday where Calvin Ridley jumps ship from the Jaguars, goes to the division rival, to the Titans, gets $50 million guaranteed? What was your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, Mark, that was such a last-minute thing. We actually had a story written and ready to be published at 4 o'clock yesterday that said Calvin Ridley re-signs with the Jaguars on a 2-year deal, and then next thing you know, the Titans, at the last minute, swoop in and just offered him a stupid amount of money. So Ridley really wanted to stay here. He had talked about it. You know, he didn't want to have to go learn yet another new playbook. And, you know, he had developed some really good chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. Now he gets to go up to Tennessee, and we'll have to see. I mean, you know, they've got a good young quarterback up there who maybe has some promise. Maybe he doesn't in Will Levis. And, you know, it's hard when you see a guy go to a division rival like that. That's a really big deal. But, you know, Mark, I don't know if you've noticed this. Have you noticed how many guys are signing with division rivals during this free agency period? And I'll use one example in your NFC North with, you know, Aaron Jones, you know, signing with the Vikings. And, you know, you had David Montgomery leave the Bears last year to go to the Lions. You're seeing a lot more intertwining within a division. You didn't used to see that a lot, did you?
No, here's the question. do you just have to go take the money? And who cares about any type of rivalries or allegiances? Because it's kind of like if you're Calvin Ridley, hey, this team's giving me $50 million guaranteed. I better go get it. Is that what you need to do if you're an NFL player? Just go get that money now.
I mean, I think that's any walk of life, Mark. I mean, when you and Cumulus offer me $50 million, I'd walk away from my current job.
How much am I making in this scenario? Mark, we got to sit you down. We got to add this primetime player, Tim Walters. We're going to give him $50 million. What am I getting? Mark, that's not the point right now. We got to make sure we help Tim out. That's what it is. That's what it's going to be. Look, you're seeing this all the time. The good one is, a good example is Pollard, running back for the Dallas Cowboys, where I think he also went to Tennessee because they were going to give him all this money. Look, you might be out of the league in another year. Might as well get paid now. So did you like, though, some of the moves the Jaguars made, including trading for Mac Jones from the Patriots?
I mean, look, Mac Jones is a hometown guy in Jacksonville. You know, I guess making him the backup gives you a slightly more serviceable backup than C.J. Beathard, who will still be there probably as the third string. You know, last year, Trevor Lawrence got hurt really for the first time in his career. And when you had Beathard, you didn't really have anybody as a third string. So they're signing the one guy from the Canadian Football League at different points. So, you know, it at least gives them a little bit of flexibility there. You know, they bring in a center in, I can't think of his first name. Last name was Morse from the Bills. The Bills had to cut their starting center, basically a salary cap move. And the Jaguars swooped in and got him because their center last year was graded the second worst in the NFL. He was a two-year player out of Kentucky, and he's just struggling, kind of getting pushed around a little bit. And that's one reason why Trevor Lawrence was getting knocked around. So you go out and you get a center. You know, they've got Devin Duvernay from Baltimore, who's a good return man, you know, because that part of their game, they lost their return man to free agency in Jamal Agnew. And then also, you're looking at some other moves. They brought in another wide receiver from Buffalo.
Yeah, Gabe Davis. Yeah.
Yeah, so they, you know, last year they weren't active at all. This year it's just been like breaking news after breaking news after breaking news.
Do you think Trent Baalke did a good job then this week so far?
I guess that's what we'll find out this fall, Mark. But, yes, I think he's doing the right things. You know, I can understand them not wanting to overpay for Calvin Ridley because, I mean, he had a good season, not a great season. He also had some bad mistakes that he made. And you expect Christian Kirk to be back fully healthy. You're going to have Zay Jones back. You sign Gabe Davis. You have an option in Duvernay. And then they've got a couple of young guys in Parker Washington, you know, guys like that they're developing. You also have a great tight end in Evan Engram. So, you know, it's not the biggest thing in the world to get rid of Ridley. It's more like losing a really big name. And what was bigger news was the 4 years and all the money that Tennessee gave him.
Do you have an expectation where the Jaguars should win the division next year, or is it a wait-and-see process now?
No, I mean, obviously, I think them and the Texans are still the best out of the four teams in that division. You know, obviously, I really like C.J. Stroud. I like Tank Dell. I like Will Robinson. They're building some good things there. I think it will be a good race between the two of them. You know, obviously, I think that Trevor Lawrence needs to really start proving himself a little bit better than he has been. He's been good. He hasn't been great. He was knocked around, especially this year. You know, we've also got to see if that defense can improve a little bit. That secondary, which was so good the first half of the season, was just terrible the second half. Ended up getting their defensive coordinator fired. They've, franchise tagged Josh Allen. Hopefully they'll get him signed to a long-term deal. So there's a lot going on there, Mark. I mean, I still think it's them or the Texans, but I wouldn't pick between the two of them just yet.
That's okay. I completely understand. We're here with Tim Walters with the Florida Today newspaper. I know it's loud. He's there in the media area. He's there up there at the tournament going on for the PGA this weekend for Jacksonville. All right. Do you have a top five list or a March Madness thing we're going to do? What's going on, Tim?
Yeah, Mark. I have. Today it went live around the state of Florida, including at floridatoday.com, jacksonville.com, and other places. So, Mark, you actually helped take part in this. I started researching iconic jersey numbers throughout sports. So I narrowed it down to 21 submissions, and I sent it out to 12 experts and myself as well. 21 number submissions with athletes listed next to them. And then I asked people to rank their top 10, and then each ranking got a point from 1 to 10. So if it was at the top of a list, it got 10 points. If it was at the bottom, it got 1 point. After all was said and done, I took the 16 based on points from our experts, and I built a bracket. So the number 1 was going against 16 and so on and so forth. So that is up for voting right now. Now, the number 1 seed, I think this will make sense to most people. It's number 23, Michael Jordan, which may end up winning the tournament, but you never know. And that's going against the number 80. A lot of really good wide receivers, but, you know, in other sports, not a big one. If you want me to go through them real quick, Mark, we've got 3 versus 15. So 3 is Babe Ruth, Dale Earnhardt, among others. 15 being Tim Tebow, Bart Starr, Patrick Mahomes. We've got 32 versus 9. 32 being Magic Johnson, Sandy Koufax, Steve Carlton, and a host of others. And then the number 9 being guys like Ted Williams, Gordie Howe, Mia Hamm of women's soccer fame. We've got 24 versus 5, which 24 being Ken Griffey, Barry Bonds, Jeff Gordon, 5 being Joe DiMaggio, Johnny Bench, Albert Pujols, all great players, great numbers. We have 12 versus 33, 12 being Tom Brady, need I say more, 33, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, you name it. 42, of course, Jackie Robinson, Mariano Rivera, Ronnie Lott. And that's going up against 13, which is Dan Marino, Wilt Chamberlain, Kurt Warner. And then 99 versus 44, which is Wayne Gretzky, Manny Ramirez, Warren Sapp, 44 being Hank Aaron, Pete Rose. And then 7 versus 8, 7 being Mickey Mantle, John Elway, among others, and 8 being Cal Ripken, Yogi Berra, Carl Yastrzemski. So great fun thing to vote on, Mark. We'll find out what the highest ranking is, who's going to win our tournament. And that will all be reported through the next few weeks. So we're going to get 16 down to 8, down to 4, down to 2, and a champion.
All right, I'll put you on the spot. What's your favorite number?
Well, it's not that it's my favorite number, although actually it is, but not because of Michael Jordan. I was a big Ryne Sandberg fan growing up, and people may not realize he had the number 23 in Chicago a year before Jordan did. But so 23 was always my favorite number growing up because of Ryne Sandberg. How about you?
23 as well for Jordan. Do you feel like numbers matter as much as they used to? And look, I get it. We're older. We're not 12 years old watching our sports heroes anymore. But like you look at NBA, NFL, does it still matter what people's numbers are?
I think it does to the players especially. I mean, you'll hear a guy, you know, goes to an NBA team or an NFL team, and he'll pay a teammate like $1 million to get that number. To these guys, you know, some of them, those numbers mean a lot because, you know, a lot of times the number that is popular now was because when these kids were young, they had a hero, wanted to wear that number, and now they're the pros wearing that number. So, you know, that's kind of how some of that works. But, I mean, I expect really 23 to win, but I was also curious to see what would be people's number 2, what would be their number 3. And so that was kind of more of the surprise, not surprising, but for me, interesting to see is, you know, what would be the numbers after 23 that people were really into.
Do you think Wayne Gretzky, where he had 99, is the most unique number?
Well, so many people have now worn 99, you know, Manny Ramirez. And, you know, one of the submissions I put was Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn from the movie Major League. He wore 99.
I like in the MTV Rockin' Jock softball game when Flavor Flav showed up and his jersey was 9-1-1. Do you remember this?
Well, yeah, I'd show up with the 3-2-1 on mine.
Oh, you would. That'd be so awesome if you did that. I really would. Hey, is it going to say, okay, so it says 3-2-1, and then instead of Walters, does it just say Mr. for the name? What does it do?
Yes, because obviously 3-2-1 being my last name, my first name is Mister.
What number does your daughter use in goal for her soccer team?
She's number 35, and she has been now for 5 years, believe it or not. So hopefully she'll always stick with that number. We picked it because it's unique. We've actually had some problems amongst our soccer teams over the last couple of years when one kid will come over from one team and another kid will, you know, and they both wore the same number. We've actually had that issue. So we haven't had anybody who wanted the number 35. So we'll stick with that.
All right. I'm going to go into the vault and tell you a story. So growing up, especially in high school, when I played like baseball and 12-inch softball for fun, I would go with 45. And people go like, why are you going with 45? Because I always just thought it was funny, Colt 45 malt liquor. So I'd go with 45, and that was the reason. There you go.
Well, maybe that's why Jordan chose that number upon his return, because for 2 years he just sat around drinking Colt 45.
Dude, I remember when he came back, and then we were at the mall, and the sports, you know, like Foot Locker, Champ Sports, whatever it was, they'd have those on sale, and it was like, ooh, and it would have Bulls Jordan 45, and they would sell. And then they only lasted for 2 months. Then he went back to 23. So you never, you know what? You never see anyone wearing that Bulls 45 jersey, do you?
No, and in fact, during that era, I worked at the Athletic Attic in Gainesville when I was a student at the University of Florida. And I remember selling 45 jerseys. And then I remember we actually marked them down when the 23 jerseys came back out the following year. So people still bought them at a discounted price. But we never had to discount his shoes because a Jordan shoe went on sale. It sold out right away.
All right. What's the most famous number at the University of Florida then? What would you go with?
Oh, gosh. You'd probably have to go with Tebow's 15, if not Danny Werfel's 7.
And they're never retired, those numbers. So you're constantly having new people wear the jersey. Do you like that?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. But, you know, but you have 100 players on a football team. If you start retiring jerseys, you're going to have to give guys like, you know, hey, there's number 738. So, I mean, I understand why they do it. It's a shame you can't retire certain ones, but, you know, I get why they don't.
All right. Real quick, we're here with Tim Walters, Florida Today. You had no hesitation in your voice when it came to what's the answer for Florida. Florida State, I think, would be more interesting. Like, what would be the most famous number for football worn at Florida State? I think it's up for debate.
Oh boy!
Not
being a Florida State fan, I can't think of some of the numbers. But Charlie Ward, I'm not sure what number he wore. Deion Sanders, what did
two.
He wear? Three?
No,
I think,
two. He wore two.
I knew it was a low number. So you know, obviously he wore 21 with the Cowboys, but
this
I would
is
either
tough.
Go with Deion or Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward. Let me see. I'm looking. I think it's what number is it? Okay, I know this is.
I feel like it was 21, maybe
17. That's what he wore.
Oh, okay.
I think of like Peter Warwick wearing the 9 with Florida State. Like, there's so many. See, I think that's a great question. I know I was the one who asked it, but I still think it's interesting. If you're going Miami Hurricanes, there's so many great players for Miami. I don't know. That's another tough one when you think about it.
I might still go with Warren Sapp's 99.
Yeah. And you know what? That might be it. And, like, if you went around the horn for, like, UCF, what's the most famous for UCF football for a number? Ooh. I got to think about that.
Blake Bortles?
Maybe. Maybe it is Blake Bortles with the number 5. Or Mackenzie Milton. You know, that's what's in. See, it's funny. I agree with you. The Gator one, you knew right away. And I think I'm in the same boat for that. Okay, before I let you go, tell us about the coverage you're going to be doing up there in Jacksonville for the tournament.
Yeah, again, you want to stick with jacksonville.com. A lot of it will filter to floridatoday.com, of course. But we're just going to be all over it. I mean, today is the first day of 4 days of just, you know, hopefully the rain's going to stay away. So you may want to check back with us on the weather updates. It might rain Saturday or Sunday. We'll see that. But right now, Thursday, as of now, just beautiful blue skies, great first round of golf. And you just want to follow us because we're going to have every angle, every story, every bit of breaking news. And we're the leader for it, Mark. So just make sure people come here and they can listen to the podcast. Like I mentioned, I had Fred Funk last week. We've got our longtime writer, Gary Smith, who did a podcast episode. So check out the State of Florida Sports Podcast,
again,
powered by the USA Today Network.
Again, are you wearing 99 for Rick Wild Thing Vaughn? Is that your number?
Well, yeah, because when I walk around here, it's strange. Just out of the ether, you hear that music play, and people just turn and stare at me. So it's pretty cool.
You're at that bar, like Charlie Sheen at the jukebox, and that girl, she's just like, Wild Thing, you make my heart sing. It's such a great scene. Tim Walters, my man. What were you going to say?
Right before I get punched by Corbin Burnson.
Oh, man. He's like, I swear to God, I didn't know. It's the best. It's so good. Tim Walters, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Hey, I appreciate it, Mark. I love it when a plan comes together.